Today on Real Radio.
And the Bible says that they will look out and they will say, "Where did you receive these wounds in your hands and in your feet?" And Jesus will say to them, "I received these wounds in the house of my friends."
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Problem with Jesus. It's a collection of studies that takes a look at the person and the work of Jesus of Nazareth, all in commemoration of Passion Week, of course. Now, in the first two paragraphs of Luke chapter 24, and of course in other passages, we're told of how the tomb of Jesus was found to be empty and that he had actually risen from the dead. And therein lies yet another so-called problem with Jesus. It's been some 2,000 years now, and his remains have yet to be found. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Problem with Jesus, He is Alive.
And if you trust him, you won't be in a box. Your body, look, I may bury you at Forest Lawn, but you ain't there. If you're a believer, you're with the Lord. Instantly, the Bible says. Keep that in mind. Based on what? Jesus Christ being the sacrifice. The second thing is, he's the Savior. You ever think about that? Do you know anybody in the world who can save you? I mean save you. Not only in this life, but at death. And all the way through into eternity. Do you know anybody like that? There's people who make you promises. People make you guarantees. Jesus Christ says, if a man believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. Well, Pastor, I believe Jesus was a really great teacher, a great prophet, a great man. Really? If that's what you think, based though also in light of what he said, Jesus said, if you will acknowledge me before men in this world, I will acknowledge you before my Father which is in heaven. If you deny me, by the way, the word doesn't say I hate Jesus, it means you keep your mouth shut. The opportunity arises for you to vote for Jesus and you to say nothing. Jesus says, then I can't acknowledge you before my Father. Acknowledge me. Listen, there's no gray zone. Acknowledge me or don't acknowledge me. The decision's yours, but you give me the opportunity to present your case before my Father in the end or not. Jesus said that stuff. Jesus said that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. You think Jesus is just a good man and a great prophet and a very good guy? If that's true, what you say, he's crazy. Jesus would be the most dangerous man ever released upon the human race. If he's just a prophet and just a good man and just a great teacher and he said those things, and he died and he never rose from the grave? Come on, are you kidding me? He would be crazy. That's the fun thing. You say, what are you yelling for? Because I know he's not that. Jesus says, you're going to kill me? You're going to put me in the ground? 3 days later, I'll be back. Schwarzenegger thought he thought that up. He didn't think that up. Jesus said, 3 days later, I'll be back. That's amazing. He's the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. Write this down because it is awesome. And especially those of you who are Bible students, this will freak you out. The Bible says that there's one God. Absolutely. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 11. Isaiah 43, 11. Isaiah was a prophet. He wrote this 743 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. God spoke through the prophet Isaiah and said, I am the Lord. Besides me, there is no Savior. So church, how many saviors are there? One, God says. 1 John 4:14. John says, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. The great I Am, the Yahweh of the Scriptures, is the one true Savior, Christ. The next thing under this point is his sovereignty. Jesus is all sovereign. You say, well, if he's all sovereign, then why didn't he ride into Rome or ride into Jerusalem or ride into Washington, D.C. with a tank brigade and all that stuff and straighten things out? because that was not what he was to do at first. Read your Bible very carefully. The Old Testament announces that the Messiah of the world would first come as the sacrifice, as the Savior, but he was also the sovereign king who would willingly lay down his life. Would a king do that for his subjects? No way. Jesus did. In fact, listen, do you know what his accusers did to him? In Matthew 27:37, it says there that at his crucifixion, they put up over his head the accusation written against him. This is why he's on the cross. That's what they did back then. When you were sentenced by the court, they wrote out your crime and they nailed it over your head on the cross. So this is Jesus' crime. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. That's his crime. Friends, listen, skeptic, listen up. Why did Rome agree with the religious hierarchy to put Jesus Christ of all people to death? What did he do? What did Charlie Manson do? What did Osama bin Laden do? What did Hitler do? What did, fill in the blank, you could name all that stuff, right? They did this, they did this, they did this. What did Jesus do? He raised the dead, he loved people. He fed people who had no food? Isn't it interesting? Jesus is the most famous person to die in all of human history. And isn't it amazing that he didn't do anything? It's who he was. He was killed for who he was. What if Jesus came back today and we could rewind the whole story? What if he came back in the 21st century? We'd kill him again. Isn't that sad to say? It's human nature that put Christ on the cross. That's why you and I need him so much. Look, I may be looking good today. But those of you who are visiting, you're going, oh, look, he wears a suit. No, I don't. No, I don't. For me to wear a suit, it takes somebody to die and to be resurrected. I mean, if you see me coming in a suit, then you're probably, just kidding. But we might look good, but you know what? On the inside, we all need help. Yes. We need to be forgiven. We have thoughts that are not right, and we know it. The sovereign king came and died, and he's the sacrifice. Isn't it amazing? That makes him, and I challenge you, find someone else in history that makes him exclusive. And for that, Jesus is a problem. He's sovereign. The Bible says in Revelation 19:16, he has on his robe and on his thigh. This is in heaven right now. What is Jesus wearing right now in heaven? Right now, this is it. He's wearing a robe, and on his thigh, a name is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In the ancients, they would have their royalty or their pedigree on their robe down along their thigh. You could read it. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Prince William is going to say, wow. When Jesus comes back, all the kings and rajas and lords of history, the Bible says, as I said earlier, every knee will bow and tongue will confess. That's good news. That's good news if you believe. It's great news. And then Jesus, regarding his sovereignty, I hope you see it this way. It's kind of an interesting way to look at it, I'll admit. In Luke 23:33, the Bible says, and when they had come to the place called Calvary, you happen to be at Calvary Chapel right now, the word Calvary, taken from Golgotha, is the word skull. When they brought Jesus to the place of the skull, ladies and gentlemen, I can take you, well, in about 2 weeks, a bunch of us are gonna go. Many of you have already been. I can take you to the back parking lot of an Arab bus station in Jerusalem. Why? Because behind it right there is a place called, throughout antiquity, Golgotha. You say, oh yeah, okay, so what? So maybe somebody named it. Yeah, I understand that. But the whole place is in the shape of a skull. To this hour. Golgotha Calvary means Skull Chapel. This is, you welcome to Calvary Chapel. You are in Skull Chapel. Doesn't it sound kind of piratey? They brought Jesus, the Bible said, to the place of the skull. By the way, the Bible says he was buried in a nearby tomb that was a stone's throw away. Guess what? Joseph of Arimathea's tomb has been unearthed, and it's a stone's throw away. It's about from here to the back doors, 110 feet to those back doors is the Golgotha to the garden tomb, where Jesus was laid to rest after being crucified. But while Jesus was being crucified, what did he say? He said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. Somebody, and I understand their argument, somebody came to me years ago and said, "Pastor, I read that verse. I don't need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because he was God, right?" Yeah. And he prayed to God the Father, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, right? That's right. When Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. I don't know what I'm doing, so I must be forgiven." Good argument by this guy, by the way. Think about it. I must be forgiven, so I don't need Christ. I don't need to follow him. "No, that's a good thing," I said. "That's fantastic. The only problem is, Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.' That's regarding your sins." Listen, are you listening? The four of you are. That's awesome. The word is this: Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world. Do you understand that? He died for all sin. So are you a hooker in here today? Are you a drug addict? Are you a pedophile? Are you proud and arrogant? Are you an income tax cheat? Are you, what are you? Pornographer? Are you a bank robber? You can stack up, maybe I just described one guy in here today. Somebody might jump up and say, "That's me! Who told you I was gonna come to church?" No, listen, I don't know, but here's the deal. Whatever you can stack up right now and say, "Oh, Pastor, God would never love me because I'm all those things on steroids." You don't understand. Jesus, the Bible says, the person who's forgiven the most loves the most. Listen, when you're forgiven or excused of a whole bunch of stuff, you, out of your own heart, become loyal to those who have forgiven you. Isn't it amazing? You ever see two boys who are best friends? You know how they became best friends? I can tell you, every boy knows what I'm going to say, right? Well, I mean, guys, we were once boys. My wife says, it doesn't matter. Listen, best friends, before we were best friends, we beat each other up on the school ground. You get in a big fight with somebody, and then, listen, guys are weird. Girls, they send cards to each other. Guys, we beat the snot out of each other, and then we wind up being best friends. It's wonderful. Listen, there's a sense of connection. The greater the sinner, the love comes out of that person the most when they have found out what they're forgiven of and that they see the price of which Christ has paid to set them free. He's absolutely awesome. So when Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do," all sin Jesus paid for on the cross. Thank God. But there's one sin that Jesus did not pay for on the cross. Only one. It's the only sin that will plunge you into hell. Only one. God's not going to unfurl this whole list about your pathetic life. "Look at this. Oh, man, I was doing good until the third line." None of that. There's only one. This is encouraging to me. Only one. My son. In Proverbs 30, verse 4, written over 1,000 years before Jesus, Proverbs 30, verse 4, God said, "What is my name? I hold the water and the world and everything in my hands and in the fold of my robe. I'm God. What is my name? And what is the name of my son, if you can tell me?" Proverbs 30, verse 4. God is going to ask you someday, "What do you think about my son?" And your response ought to be, "He's the Savior of the world. My Jesus died on the cross for me and rose again from the grave." The band starts playing, the confetti starts falling, and you walk into the presence of God. Somebody might walk up and say, "I'm a theologian. I'm a very moral person. Let me tell you something." Ain't gonna happen. Jesus said, unless someone's born again, born anew, born a second time, he will not see the kingdom of heaven. And by the way, who'd he say it to? But none other than the high priest of all of Israel. Nicodemus, the great high teacher, I should say, of all of Israel. Jesus Christ, secondly, is unique. He is unique. What is wrong with a living Christ and Savior is that he's unique. Three ways, very quickly. He offers hope. Jesus is the hope giver. When the angels tell them, "Don't you remember he told you these things while still in Galilee?" The angels announce to their memory, "Wake up and remember. Remember the things that you were taught. Many of you were raised hearing about Bible stories. Remember those stories. Go back to the Bible. Look around the world. Do we need to convince you? Just look at the world. Has it gone nuts? It has gone nuts. Did you know? Did you hear the latest? And some of you who are attorneys or soldiers in here, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, Marine. Check this out. Things are really getting dicey right now between the United States and North Korea. They're picking a fight with us in a very big way. In the last 96 hours, things have gotten nuts. And you might say, well, who cares? You should care if you know history. We used to be at war. Oh, I'm sorry. We are still at war with North Korea. Did you know that? The war never ended. Well, that's, what about the Middle East? What's going on over there? Wow. You know what? The world needs a hug. And that guy over there in North Korea, he needs a mama real bad. See, what's my point? You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But my Bible tells me. Isn't it amazing to think? Your hope doesn't need to be in the UN, the United States, or the EU. Your hope, when the Bible uses Christ or the word hope for Jesus Christ, to hope in God, the Bible says that Jesus is our blessed hope and our glorious Savior, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That hope is not like we use the word hope in our Western culture. Well, I hope to see you again. Well, there's a lot of doubt in that. I hope it doesn't rain. It could. You know, let's go to Vegas, man. Let's hope we win. Good luck. There's a lot of doubt in there. That's not the word the Bible uses to hope in Jesus. The word means the exact opposite. You can put all of your hope in him because it's guaranteed. God doesn't, you know, work off of edges or percentages or trends. He says, you trust my son, and when you come to the end of your life, it will be very, very good for you. Amen. It's amazing. Isn't it great? God gives us this book. If I could rename the Bible, I would call it the Book of Promises. Someone told me not too long ago that they are a promise keeper. You remember the promise keeper movement? And I said, that's great. And that is great. But it's all about making promises and stuff. Promise keepers, we're going to vow to our family, vow to our wives. And that's great. I'm not knocking it. But let's just remember this. There's only one promise keeper. There's only one that has the power to keep all the promises. And that's the Lord. He's awesome. He offers hope. The next thing is he offers life. I don't need to belabor that. He offers life. Jesus rose again from the grave. Guaranteeing you that if you trust him in your moment, to pass from this world to the next, you can have life evermore, eternal life. Why would you think that's odd or strange when people are talking about in Hollywood and doing everything they can to find the fountain of youth and to live forever, and knowing that they're not going to live forever or they may not live forever, they jack up everything with chemicals and stuff to try to keep it going forever. Why? Because they're afraid of aging. They're afraid of dying. They're afraid of the end. And it's coming like a Mack truck. You don't need to be afraid of it. Jesus, by going to the cross, took away the sting and the power of death in the grave. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 8, that nothing shall be able to separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing created, nothing spiritual, nothing of the angelic world, nothing of the underworld, nothing of ourselves can separate us from God. That is awesome. Think about that. Because he is absolutely the life giver. And then also he loves you, Christian. See, well, I'm not a Christian. He loves you too, pagan. I mean, I love you, but just hang on for a second. He loves you. You say, does that get, do I get a free pass then? No, that's not what it means. He loves you, and he's provided a way for you to be with him. You just have to come his way. By the way, read the fine print. It's not the way of this church. We can't do nothing for you. We can just point you. As I said earlier today, we can just point you to him. Okay. Of Isaiah 53, who it says there, that the Messiah of the world would be marred, disfigured. The word in Hebrew is to be disfigured more than any human. The word implies that Jesus would not have been able to be recognizable from a male or a female, that he would just simply have the form of a human. when they were done with them. Isn't it interesting that the Roman government said, a representative at the foot of the cross, the moment Jesus died, said, truly, this was the Son of God. Isn't it amazing that in Jerusalem on Sunday morning, the tomb was found empty, and those who were given a dispatch by the Roman Empire to guard it, the penalty of the stone being taken away by those Italians, by those Romans, those men had to die that day. Did you know that? The stone was broken open. They had to die. This is all accounted for. And we are begging with you today to accept the message of love. That he did that because in fulfilling scripture, the Bible says, the virginity of Jesus, what I mean by that is his purity and holiness. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might receive the righteousness of God that is through him by faith. For you to put your faith in Jesus today is to tell him, thank you for this. Thank you for going to my condemnation. Thank you for going to my execution judgment. Jesus, for my sins you died, and for that I acknowledge you. Thank you for taking my place. I receive you. And the Bible declares that it was not a good man dying on the cross. The Bible says when Christ returns, Israel will look upon him in the clouds of his great returning and the second coming. And the Bible says that they will look out and they will say, where did you receive these wounds in your hands and in your feet? And Jesus will say to them, I received these wounds in the house of my friends. The very ones he came to save. And the Bible says that from Israel, the gospel should have gone out to the face of the earth. The gospel's come to you. He loves you. He died on the cross for you. And the funny thing is, we Christians are begging you to know this eternal life. We may never see you again. It's not the point. We want you to know him. He is God. Before this happened on the cross, and before he rose again from the dead, Micah 5:2 says that in Bethlehem, the eternal one would be born, whose goings forth have been from of old, even everlasting, and who'll be born in Bethlehem. How can eternalness be born in a stable in Bethlehem? Because the Bible says that God would come, and he's come for you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a multi-part series called The Problem with Jesus. And of course, one of the so-called problems with Jesus is that he is alive. In fact, that's the title of our lesson today, He is Alive. It's part of Pastor Jack's multi-part series called The Problem with Jesus. Next time we get together, we're going to bring you Pastor Jack's series called Why Should I? This is a great series. You don't want to miss 1 minute of it. In fact, the first lesson out of the gate is called Why Should I Go to Church? That's on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, it is Monday, and of course that means one thing, that tonight you can catch our television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs every Monday night, 7 o'clock, West Coast time, on hischannel.com. That's hischannel.com. Now, on Real Life with Jack Hibbs, you'll often see Pastor Jack sit down with some pretty fascinating people, quite frankly, and they talk about serious topics that involve the issues of our day. And they're always addressed through the lens of Scripture. In other words, seeing these things in the light of the Judeo-Christian worldview. Now, if you've seen Real Life with Jack Hibbs, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And of course, tonight we've got another great show for you, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, every Monday night at 7 o'clock West Coast time on hischannel.com. In fact, we have a link to his channel from our own realradioactive.org, so go check it out right there if you get a chance. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.